You've just tuned into the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans. All right, everyone. And welcome back to the Black and Gold Airwaves. We are ready to talk some Steelers football. My name is Matt. That is Mark. What's happening, man?
Hey, my man. It's all good here. It's a victory on Sunday over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Certainly not exciting. Maybe it was exciting. Well, I don't know. It was a victory. Let's just put it that way.
Yes, it was. The Steelers went down to Jacksonville and won like they're supposed to do. Maybe not exactly how they're supposed to do, but, you know, a team like Pittsburgh is supposed to beat a team like Jacksonville, whether you're on the road or in your own home. So a win is a win. The good thing, of course, too, is that the Ravens lost instead of the Bengals, so that allowed Pittsburgh to gain a little bit of ground in the AFC North.
Absolutely. I guess neither of those losses was totally surprising. You had the Patriots coming off a horrible beatdown they got in Kansas City. You knew they were going to come out fired up, and then the Ravens were at Indianapolis. So, you know, I mean, we're 3-2, as are the Ravens. Of course, they got the game in hand over us. Hopefully, we can get that back in a few weeks. And then you got Cincinnati, who's already had their bye week. They're 3-1. So we're right in the thick of this thing, despite one seemingly ugly issue after another on both sides of the ball at times.
Yeah, pretty much. The Steelers always find a way to keep it interesting. We'll get into the game in a minute, but first we would probably be remiss if we didn't talk about what everybody else is talking about right now, and that would be the somewhat controversial pass to Antonio Brown to keep his streak/record intact. Of course, within 2 minutes, the Steelers had the ball. It was a one possession game, so of course they were up by the 8 points, you know, which they ended up winning by 17-9. Logic normally tells you that obviously, you know, now you can't just sit on the ball for three plays and then run out the clock because you're going to leave a little time left. So logic says run the ball for a play, you know, maybe eat up some time, you know, maybe have Ben run around in a circle and fall down a couple times just to kill a little bit extra, a few seconds off the clock, whatever. But the Steelers decided to throw Antonio Brown a bone and let him keep his streak alive. It caused a pretty much, a big uproar. Some of the Steeler Nation, thinking that the Steelers should have just ran the ball to be safe, being a one-possession game. Others thought that, hey, it's Antonio Brown, you know, let's just throw him a bone and give him the safe pass. What do you think?
Well, I got two thoughts on it. I initially was kind of surprised, but here's the two things. Number one, the entire Steeler fan base was all over Todd Haley and Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger a week before when we had a horrible series on which all we needed was a first down. And we couldn't execute. We got stuffed on a run. We had to punt. The punt was ugly. We ended up losing. We know the story. So it was refreshing to see us at least attack a little bit by throwing the ball, and it wasn't just one to Brown. There was another one in there too, I believe, to Wheaton, if I'm not mistaken. So we went after this victory. Now, as far as doing this, look, you know, you and I are kind of old school guys. You do the team first. You don't worry about individual accolades and those types of things. Had Antonio Brown gone to Ben and gone to Tomlin and said, "Hey, my streak's going to end," then I would have been really upset about this. But the fact that this came from Ben, it came from Tomlin giving the okay. It was a safe play. You know, I mean, let's face it. If something stupid would have happened, okay, we're probably having a totally different conversation. I didn't have a huge issue with it. I think, like I said, I would have had Antonio been the one to come and bring all this up. But according to everything I've seen and read, he didn't. This was on Ben. This was on Tomlin. They gave the okay. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I mean, Tomlin was asked today about it, and he basically said, quote-unquote, "I really don't care." So, I mean, it's his team. You know, you're right, he gave the okay for it. It was a safe play, but I guess I'm a little more old school on that. Yep. You know, I mean, if this were a two-possession game, sure, you know, just, you know, throw the damn ball three times if you want. I don't care. But the fact that they were only up by one and the Steelers' propensity for blowing leads and having disaster happen late in the game, that's what kind of struck me as a little odd. I was driving home from Kentucky during the game, and the Jacksonville announcers that happened to be on Sirius at the time basically said, what in the world is Ben doing? Like, why aren't they just kneeling on the ball? Why aren't they running the ball? And I kind of thought, wait a minute, they're throwing a pass. And then, of course, you realize the streak and all that. I don't know. I can kind of go either way. I mean, it wasn't like they were making a real risky play. But at the same time, you know, given the way that this team's luck has gone lately, I probably would have rather them see them not throw. But that's just me.
Oh, and I get both arguments. Trust me, I do. I like I said, the old school part of me says, hey, you know, it wasn't meant to be. I think he had 11 targets in the game. I can't remember how many, but I know it was a decent number of targets. And, hey, if he doesn't get the five, he doesn't get the five. And I understand that. I just, you know, again, it comes down to me, was he being selfish or were his teammates, were the coaches the ones that wanted this for him? And I think Tomlin's comment of, you know, I don't care, I think that kind of tells the story. They feel like he's, matured a lot. Sans post-touchdown celebrations, and he works very, very hard. So they wanted to reward him. Look, like I said, if that pass is dropped, it turns out it's a lateral, you know, the Jags fall on it, they tie it, they win it in overtime, then, oh my God, are we having a different discussion today. But at the same time, you know, we expected execution last week. We needed 4 or 5 yards on one run play. They couldn't get it. And you know, so we could have easily said, hey, if they don't execute, they don't deserve to win, and they executed. So, you know, win the game, game over, and I think now it's just a non-issue. We got to move on a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, it was just something interesting to talk about because, like, even right now, this evening, I'm following Twitter and everybody's still blown up about it. So it is what it is. It worked out in the end. Okay, the Steelers won the game, so, you know, we can't dwell on it too much.
Nope.
You know, so anyways, just to get back to the game, the Steelers go down to Jacksonville. Of course, Jacksonville winless. They are still winless. There was a lot made of the comparisons between Bortles and, you know, a young Big Ben and how they're similar in many ways. And, you know, obviously the Jags have a long way to go and they've got a lot of young players. So the Steelers were expected to win this game. You know, you want to see them go down and just, like, completely dismantle a team like Jacksonville, you know, win this game 30-3 or something like that. That probably would have made everybody happy. And then on the other hand, it probably wouldn't, because then people would say, well, it's only Jacksonville. And they're still saying, well, it's only Jacksonville. So, you know, we as fans just really can't be pleased no matter how we win, you know, in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know, this team was giving up 33 or more points a game through four games. The defense ranked near the bottom in almost everything with the exception of sacking the quarterback, which they were second in the league and they got four more. So I understand the people being ticked about, you know, not scoring more points. But you're absolutely right. We expect monster victories all the time, and sometimes we just have to take whatever we can get. There's still issues with this team. The special teams penalties are horrendous. They put the offense, I mean, backed up to our end zone at least three times I can remember. Then you had the two stupid offside penalties on a kickoff, for crying out loud. You know, that's just lack of discipline. I mean, that's not paying attention to the little things. And you know, that could have been something that cost us, because now you're asking guys to do a third 60-yard sprint, you know, in a matter of a couple minutes. And they should be in shape. Fine. Well, you go out and do that and see how you feel, regardless of the shape you're in. You're going to be a little more tired. You know, and I thought the other thing, too, from Tomlin's presser today that was interesting, he was talking about the red zone and how he, I believe his comment was, I wish we would have run the ball more. Well, you're the head freaking coach. If you want to see more runs down there, then go down to Todd Haley and say, you know, Todd, I think we need to run the ball a little bit more down there. We can't keep throwing it right and left like we do at midfield. You know, what's he complaining about then if he wishes they would have done that? I mean, be the head coach, go down, tell your coordinator this is what you want to see. I'm really starting to believe that there's three head coaches on this team. I think LeBeau does his thing on defense. I think Haley does his thing on offense. And Tomlin's just kind of the guy that now just goes out there and talks to the media and says this, says that, and that's it. I mean, after that comment, I just was incredibly frustrated.
Well, and I'm frustrated too because it's the way it always is. And you know, let's kind of call a spade here. Is there anybody that's going to be able to tell Dick LeBeau what to do on a defense, regardless of who you are? I mean, in Pittsburgh, he's a god. Now, yep. You know, right or wrong, whether or not yep. The defense is bad or good, the fact is that it's Dick LeBeau. He is like, you know, grandpa to everybody on the brother in Pittsburgh. Yep. So, you know, I mean, LeBeau's forgotten more about defenses than Tomlin will ever know. And, you know, regardless of the fact that this defense is highly overrated, regardless of their stats right now, mm-hmm. because that they have problems on defense and they can't stop anybody. And, you know, yeah, we played okay against Jacksonville, but it wasn't a spectacular performance. Nope. So, you know, I mean, I guess in a sense, I can agree with you, especially on the defensive side of the ball, that, you know, I mean, I'm sure LeBeau and Tomlin get along fine. I get that. But I would just imagine, I would not be at all surprised if there's kind of three head coaches, like you said, because pretty much right now, it's, you know, there was a public outcry for Haley to run no huddle, and Ben wanted it, so now they're doing it. And, you know, the Steelers' defense is run by LeBeau, so he's going to do what they want. So what's Tomlin left to do but sit there and make excuses, or, you know, take credit for something, or sit there and just kind of twiddle his thumbs and tell us about how the standard is the standard every 2 weeks?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily know that they're actually using the no huddle the way I thought they would. I mean, I think we were kind of duped a little bit. I really expected this team to be using it maybe every 2 out of 3 series. You know, and again, not a hurry up, but at least the no huddle. And, we break it out every couple plays. We'll use it on a certain situation and get everybody up to the line. And, you know, it's kind of like, we'll just do it to appease the people. Then we'll go back to doing our thing. You know, and you know, another thing with this offense, you know, Dree Archer, I think number one, we found out just how fast people are in the NFL. I mean, this is a kid with just electrifying speed. I don't understand why they continuously throw the ball to him out on the sideline, on the edge. You eliminate one half of his possible route. He's cornered. Now all the defense has to do is come over and put a finger on him, and he's so little he goes out of bounds. Why don't they get the ball to him over the middle, where now he can go left, right, back, forward, and you create mismatches that way? I don't get it. It's the same type of crap they did with Chris Rainey. The only exception was they tried to give Rainey the ball more out of the backfield as a running back. I mean, get this kid in space. Quit putting him on the sideline. All right, I'm done.
Well, you know, and that makes a good point, because one of our friends in the blogosphere, I guess you call it, had written an article about, you know, was drafting, you know, Archer a mistake. Well, I don't know that it was a mistake, but he sure hasn't done what we would hope he was going to do to this point in his career. And, you know, it's only, you know, a month into the season or whatever, and there's still a lot of time, but you're right. I think the way that they are using him is just so bass-ackwards right now that the kid he's short and he's quick and he's fast, and if you can get him, you know, amongst a bunch of big linebackers, or, you know, behind some linemen, or, you know, he can make people miss and maybe pick up some more first downs. But you're right, you are you know, you're basically pushing him to the sideline, and, you know, let's face it, he's not going to run over anybody, you know, as it is. So I agree. I think they're using him way wrong. I'm not sure if they just don't know what to do with him yet. I mean, maybe they're just experimenting. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done anything electrifying in the kick return game. I mean, crepe, I think LeGarrette Blount's got better kick returns than he's had. You know, and this was the fear, you know, with him in the old saying is, don't ever draft a guy purely on speed. And I think that's what they did. Now they'll tell you, well, you know, he catches the ball, he does this, he does that. Again, it doesn't matter how fast he is. It doesn't matter how well he catches the ball if you isolate him in a situation where he can either go, you know, left or straight or back. When you take one whole side of the field away from him, and I'm thinking of, there was a throw, the a throw way to the sideline to him. There was a swing pass to him. He's got nowhere to go. And so, therefore, all it takes is one guy to come up, get the angle, and he's out of bounds. I just don't get that part of it. And, you know, again, you only score essentially 10 points on this bad of a defense, and now you're going to go into Cleveland, where you beat the crap out of them for two quarters in the opener and then couldn't move the ball for doodly squat, and you're going to be expected to put up points, because I'll tell you what, Cleveland's going to score. They're playing well. Their offense is moving. They started off very slowly the other day, but they had that 25-point comeback, and they got tons of confidence. So this is not going to be easy going in there based on what we're doing.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, playing in the AFC North is never easy. You know, Cleveland is flying high with a ton of confidence right now after that win last week. You know, and even if they didn't, you know, they've got confidence playing us the first time and coming back. So, you know, this is certainly not a gimme. It's one that the Steelers should win, but, you know, we'll cover that here in a minute.
Yeah.
You know, just to go over a couple of stats here, we can, you know, Ben was 26-36, 273 yards and a touchdown. The leading rusher was Le'Veon Bell, 15 attempts for 82 yards. Leading receiver was, no surprise, Antonio Brown. Yeah. He was targeted 12 times, cool. 5 catches for 84 yards. Heath was targeted four for 3 and 46 yards. And that was the extent of it. There wasn't a whole lot of offense in this game. You know, the Steelers left a lot on the field. The red zone offense just continues to be bad. It's plagued this team for years. You know, whether you want to run the ball, whether you pass the ball, they have just got to be more efficient going forward, because, you know, I mean, scoring 17 points is okay against a rookie quarterback and a young team that's winless. But, you know, they've got to be able to get back on track and put more points on the board. And when you get in the red zone, as often as they have the potential to do, you've just got to punch it in. And for whatever reason, this year, just like any other, red zone offense just plagues them terribly.
Well, and you know, it was kind of interesting today, just looking back at the game on the NFL Rewind thing. You know, they went to almost the same exact play they tried last week in against Tampa Bay when they tried to get the ball to Palmer, and I want to say he dropped it. And then, of course, this week they run a play-action pass down at the one on third and goal, and quite frankly, Jacksonville had it covered very well. If the linebacker comes up one step sooner, you know, he's going to keep Palmer from getting into the end zone. Now, it's easy because we can just say, well, it worked, blah, 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 let's move on. But, I mean, number one, why are you going play action on third and goal? I mean, they're going to be looking for pass. And number two, you don't have anything else at your disposal except for the same play you ran last week. You know, and then, of course, just the issues of trying to go left and right all the time, even in the red zone. Just driving me nuts. And Heath Miller, I thought he was pretty quiet. I don't know why they didn't look for him more, because Jacksonville really struggles with tight ends. I thought he was very quiet.
Well, you're right, and I think Heath has been a little more quiet this year than what maybe people anticipated. I mean, everybody loves Heath Miller. The guy is severely underrated. He's one of the best tight ends in the league. He's been rock solid since he was drafted. But I, you know, just to kind of touch on that for a minute, this is a position where the Steelers are going to want to look to upgrade this within the next couple of years, because Heath is not getting any younger. You know, I mean, let's face it, when you're older, you know, you've had some injuries, you lose a little bit. The guy's still money when you get on the ball, but you can kind of notice when he catches now, he's not quite running over people as the way he used to. He's not quite as shifty as he was for a big guy as he used to be. So, you know, you're right. I think it's a combination of maybe he's losing a little bit, and the Steelers just don't seem to be targeting him as much as I was hoping they would.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously did last week. I think he had a career high in catches with 10, but, you know, at the same time, I agree with you. I thought they should have looked at tight end this year in the draft, and they didn't. And, well, I shouldn't say that. They did seventh round. And he's on the practice squad, but I think it's something they're going to have to look at. You know, he's been fantastic. He'll always be a fan favorite. And, you know, and before we get too far into it, Matt, let's take a quick break for our sponsor from Body Tech Gym in Pittsburgh. You're listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. For $29.95 a month, you get 24-hour access, and there's no contract. Body Tech offers a full juice bar, powerlifting room, yoga, spinning classes, silver sneakers, student rates, a woman's only room, and certified personal trainers. If you need to get back in shape or you're just looking to build on what you have, get into Body Tech today. They're located on Perry Highway in Pittsburgh. Call 412-364-7334 and tell them Steel City Blitz sent you.
And we're back talking Steelers football. Let's jump up to the game this week against Cleveland. This is a big game for the Steelers and obviously for the Browns. Divisional games, of course, you know, you want to win this one. This is the right now the Browns are absolutely flying sky high after that monster comeback. I believe it was the largest regular season comeback in NFL history. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
It was the largest comeback on the road. Yes. In NFL. Home teams have come back for more, but not road teams. Yeah. So that's something to hang your hat on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I mean, right now, you know, Cleveland, you know, they've got some injury issues. But I tell you right now, this team is looking like they are as confident as anybody in the league right now. You know, I mean, being able to come back, Hoyer's playing well. The team has confidence in him. You know, they have confidence in themselves playing against the AFC North. And especially against us, you know, we had them dead to rights for the first half and, you know, earlier in the season, and then we totally went to sleep, and you can say that that's just vintage Pittsburgh going to sleep in the second half. Yeah. Call it whatever you want, but they allowed Cleveland to come back, and this game is by no means a gimme right now, and it's important, for Pittsburgh to take this one and, you know, kind of get to 4-2 right now and see if they can't get on a bit of a roll with a bunch of home games coming up.
Well, and that's what I was going to mention right there too, Matt, is that they've got, you know, they've got Cleveland coming up, and then they get the three straight home games, two of which are in prime time. You've got Houston and Baltimore, both in prime time, and in between you got the Colts at home. But then you've got the Jets and the Titans, which both are on the road, but both should be real winnable games based on the way both those teams are playing now. So, I mean, let's be honest with it. I mean, they could easily come through this stretch here with maybe just one or two losses, and I think most of us would be pretty happy with that because the end of the schedule is tough. You know, you're talking about Cincinnati a couple times. You're dealing with New Orleans, Kansas City, and Atlanta, who, you know, always plays well at home. So, you know, I mean, it's a ways to go. Lots of things are going to happen in terms of injuries and things of that nature. But I would caution anyone who thinks we're just going to go into Cleveland and walk out of there because we're the Steelers and they're the Browns with a victory. I don't think it's going to be that easy. Tomlin better coach this team up this week. That goes for his fellow coaches as well because Cleveland's going to be ready to play football.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, this is a game where, you know, traditionally you always think, it's Pittsburgh, Cleveland will find a way to win. And, you know, we do more often than not, but this is a new Cleveland team now, you know, regardless of the, you know, 1 millionth head coach that they've been through in the last 10 years. You know, they seem to, they kind of think that they're on to something there now. The defense is tough. I believe Hayden might be out, so that bodes well for, you know, maybe Brown having a big game.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know if he's out for sure, but I believe he has an injury. So I think he's questionable right now, but don't quote me on that. But the Browns are opening up as 2-point favorites, which doesn't shock me at all, to be honest with you.
No, it doesn't me either. And how odd is it that, 6 weeks ago when they came in, we were talking a lot about Johnny Manziel, and now you don't hear a freaking word, which is just fine with me. But yeah, he's on the bench. He's carrying a clipboard because Brian Hoyer is getting the job done. And that offensive line is very good for Cleveland. And they will be able to run the ball. And the issue is going to be, can they stop it enough to get pressure on Hoyer? Because he made us look silly in the second half of week one.
Well, yeah, he did. And honestly, I have no faith in this defense to get consistent pressure on anyone.
No.
You know, they just haven't shown that they can do it. You know, for a series, a quarter, maybe a half, a game here and there, they get some good pressure, but this is not the same defense that we, you know, saw 5, 6, 7 years ago.
No.
They haven't gotten consistent pressure on anyone in years, regardless of who's over there. This game is concerning for me because Cleveland is going to be fired up. The stadium is going to be crazy, loud. You can call this game, you know, kind of like we used to call Cleveland games like an away home game for Pittsburgh because there were so many fans there. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the black and gold faithful will still show up in Cleveland, but, you know, that was there used to be a lot more tickets that were given away or just not sold to their hometown fans because the team stunk. Well, now, you know, games like this now, you know, you have a lot more home fans who actually are showing up for the game. So, yeah, I'm somewhat worried about this game. I think I'm not going to say I'm too worried about the offense, knock on wood, but the defense scares me a lot more. Our defense scares me going against their offense.
Well, no doubt about it. I know if we get things right on offense, we'll be okay. It's a big if, but, you know, yeah, defensively, the way that our corners are covering and with the huge cushions they give, the lack of pressure, yeah, I mean, we should be happy that there's no Josh Gordon again. But, you know, they have a capable tight end. They have other capable guys that obviously did things against us in the second half of week one. So, I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be a nail-biter. I think, as you mentioned, this crowd will be crazy. I mean, it's the first time we've played Cleveland twice this early in the season. And, man, a long time because of late, usually we end with them. At the end of the season, maybe the 16th or 17th week. So it's going to be crazy. I mean, they're excited about their team. They have every right to be. You know, I just, again, I caution fans, don't think we're just going to go in there and roll over the Browns, because I just don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't either. You know, I think it's going to be a good game. Kind of, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up being some kind of a shootout, just because, you know, our defense is not that great right now. So, you know, if our offense gets its act together and we can score points, you know, this may be a situation where we're looking at, you know, like a 30-27 game again, or, you know, some type in the high 20s, low 30s type, depending on how it goes. So, you know, I wouldn't rule that out. Just before we start to wrap up here, you had written an article about Pouncey in your Steelers film breakdown, which I thought was kind of interesting, because you and I have been critical of him.
Yep.
You know, I mean, honestly, I mean, I've gone on the record of saying I think he's been overrated. The guy's been hurt a lot. You know, he seems to be kind of coming on now. Maybe he's finding his groove if he can stay healthy. He is the linchpin of that offensive line. He's got to stay in and, you know, healthy and on the field. And he obviously makes them a better offensive line, for what it's worth, when he's in there.
Yeah, and I know one thing. I got to change my arrows from blue to more of a red or a bright green, because they kind of get lost in the photos a little bit. So I'll change that. One of the readers noted that, and I will definitely make that change next week. But, you know, it's so odd when you see a center out of a shotgun snap pull the way he did on the particular play. And this was Le'Veon Bell's 29-yard run. It was the second-to-last play of the first quarter. And it was just a thing of beauty in terms of how an offensive line is supposed to function and how a back is supposed to read it. You know, you had Pouncey get the pull. You had DeCastro blocking down. You had Gilbert blocking down. You had Ramon Foster coming across from his left guard position. They had created a very nice wall for one side of the lane. Here comes Pouncey, who gets a good fit. I wouldn't call it a great fit, but he got a very good fit on Paul Posluszny, the very good linebacker. And by the time Posluszny can recover, you know, Bell's through the hole and headed for the sideline. And it's just one of those things that you probably see once or twice a game where something just works perfectly. Antonio Brown had a decent block on his receiver, and I think maybe it was Marcus Wheaton further downfield was working on his guy too. But just a really neat thing to see when you consider Marquise Pouncey. And yeah, we rip on him a lot. I still think he's a bit overrated, especially in pass protection. I think he's a tremendous athlete that can do a lot of things in the run game. But it was just a neat thing to break down as I was watching the tape today. So I had fun doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something, obviously, you know, that we want everybody to check out, because it's a cool segment on the site. So, you know, be sure and check out that article. Leave some comments. Let us know what you think. We definitely appreciate all the feedback. Before we go, just give me like a quick assessment of the offensive line from week one till right now. Have you seen drastic improvement? Are they the same? Are they digressing a little bit?
Well, I don't think it's a regression. I think, you know, you had the issues with Ramon Foster. I thought Cody Wallace was decent in the Carolina game, and then I thought he took a big step back in the Tampa Bay game. Part of that was because of the step up, I think, in defensive tackle competition to a certain extent. But Ramon was better, a little more stable. Marcus Gilbert has really picked it up since his first two games were pretty rough. You know, now I think you got to get Beecham picking it up. He was better than he was the week before. But still, there's some plays in there when you watch tape where one guy, especially in pass protection, will come off of his guy a little bit too soon to help a teammate, and that guy he leaves ends up making a sack or forcing Ben out of the pocket into a scrambling situation. I got to believe that's communication, and hopefully Munchak is figuring out a way to make this a little bit easier for these guys, because it's very noticeable. Whenever you watch a sack happen or pressure, it's not just always your traditional bull rush. The guy runs over the blocker and he gets to the quarterback. Sometimes it's just simply guys not staying on blocks long enough, and that's a communication thing. But overall, Matt, I think they're doing pretty well. And first and foremost, and I'll knock on wood when I say this, they've been relatively healthy with the exception of Foster.
Way to go, man. Now you did it.
Yeah, you can send me your hateful letters. That's info@steelcityblitz.com.
And there you have it, folks. There is the Steel City Blitz offensive line breakdown. But yeah, that, just in all seriousness, though, thank you everyone for the feedback, for checking us out online. Spread the word, read the articles. We are tweeting them out all the time. We're starting to get our name out there more and more on some other sports websites. So be sure and check us out. Thank you definitely for listening. Before we get out of here, give me a score prediction.
You're not going to like it. I'm going to go 27-21 Browns.
Wow. Look at you. Big old hater.
I just last week really worried me with this offense. I don't know. And obviously I don't think much of the defense if they give up 27, but I just am confused about what the real goal is on offense. And until I get a better idea, I don't think we're going to do it. And I don't know. I just think, and that's the pattern we're on. Win, lose, win. So we're up for a loss. So there.
Oh, great. Well, that's encouraging. Thank you very much. I'm going to say like a 27-24 Steelers, just because I'm having a bit of a homer moment for
some
reason here.
You could be the homer. So,
yeah, trust me, I'm never a homer, but I'll be one this time, and then we'll see who called it the most correctly next week. But with that, we will get on out of here. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the SCB Steeler Fan Podcast presented by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Thanks for listening to the SCB Steelers Fan Podcast, sponsored by Body Tech Gym in North Hills, Pittsburgh. Check them out online at bodytech-gym.com or call 412-364-7334. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have a question for us to discuss, hit us up on Twitter at @scblitz or on steelcityblitz.com and use the Contact Us option on the right side of the homepage. SteelCityBlitz.com is an independent fan site not affiliated with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the National Football League. Our opinions are our own.